For that, we are joined again this week by Tom Jensen, the Director of Public Policy Polling, publicpolicypolling.com, their website. You can find them on Twitter with more news and analysis at PPP Polls. And if you were listening to us on election night, Tom was right here in the studio doing yeoman's work, breaking it all down as the numbers were coming in very rapidly across the country. So, Tom, thank you so much, first of all, for everything that you did on Tuesday night here on the Hill. But thank you again for being here today. How are you?
Good, and I'm glad we made the decision to go off the air at 11 rather than wait for a winner in the presidential race, because we would probably be tired at this point after being on the air for 45 and a half hours in a row.
With no end in sight, right? Well, possibly an end in sight. We'll see. So where do things stand? I mentioned four states where votes are still being counted and the presidential race is still up in the air. North Carolina has been called yet on the presidential side, but we can, for the most part, we were declaring that over on Tuesday night. So it's really those other four states that are still outstanding. Where do things stand?
Well, by far and away, the most important of the remaining states is Pennsylvania, because if Biden wins there, that not only gets him over 270 electoral votes, but it gets him well over 270 electoral votes. And what happened in Pennsylvania was that they were not allowed to start counting any of the mail ballots, which are heavily Democratic, until Monday. By contrast, North Carolina had been putting all those ballots in the machine right as it went along. So Trump won the election day vote in Pennsylvania by a lot, but as they've been counting the mail ballots, it just gets worse and worse and worse for Trump. This morning, Trump was ahead by 160,000 votes. Now his margin is under 100,000 votes. There's still 500,000 or 600,000 votes left to be counted. They're all mail ballots, which is good for Democrats, and they're almost all in heavily Democratic counties, including Philadelphia, which is also good for Democrats. Projections are that by the time it's all said and done, Biden is going to end up not just winning Pennsylvania, but winning Pennsylvania by 150,000 votes, which is certainly well beyond a margin where the Trump campaign could mount any sort of legitimate legal challenge to it. So Pennsylvania is claiming they're going to get most of their ballots counted today. I don't believe that, because every step of the process, things have gone slower than they said they were going to. But my guess is that maybe tomorrow, Pennsylvania will be able to be called for Biden, and that'll be the end of the election at that point. If Biden wins Pennsylvania, none of the rest of it matters.
And we're kind of seeing a similar thing, although Nevada doesn't have nearly as many electoral votes, and it's not going to be decisive probably, although Arizona could have something to say about that. But kind of the same thing with Nevada, where Biden's got a slight lead, but the votes that are still coming in are mail ballots from heavily Democratic parts of the state, right?
Yeah, so Biden's going to win Pennsylvania, but let's say on the very off chance that he doesn't win Pennsylvania, then his most straightforward path to 270 electoral votes is winning Nevada and Arizona. That would get him to 270. Nevada, Biden had an 8,000 lead vote on Election Day, and they didn't count any more ballots until today. And as you noted, the ballots they counted today were mail ballots, and most of them were from Clark County, which is Las Vegas. That took Biden's lead from 8,000 votes up to 11,500 votes, which sort of suggests that these late ballots that they count are more likely to increase Biden's lead than decrease Biden's lead. Nevada's moving very slow, though. They released this little batch of ballots today, and then they said, we'll have some more for you tomorrow, as opposed to continuing to update through the day. So it may take a while for an official call in Nevada, but it does seem like Biden's pretty strongly favored. The state that is in some ways the most interesting and a little bit confusing is Arizona. Fox News, which even though it is in many ways very conservative, does have a legitimate decision desk, mm-hmm. called Arizona for Biden on Tuesday night.
About 20 minutes after we were off the air, too, which we were a little bit surprised over here. Yeah.
So I felt on Tuesday night that that was a little premature, and I feel even more that way now, because Biden was up 90,000 votes, but that's already, with updates that Arizona released yesterday, been cut to 65,000 votes. The ballots that they tabulated yesterday gave Trump a 25,000 vote advantage. And the reason for that is that Arizona processes its mail votes in the order in which they're received. So Democrats returned their mail ballots the fastest, and those ballots got counted before the election, and that was why Biden had such a substantial lead when the polls closed. But now these later arriving mail ballots are much more Republican, and there's still a ton of ballots left to be counted, and estimates are that Trump would have to win them about 59 to 41 to take over the lead in the state. The ballots that they counted yesterday, he did win by about 59 to 41. Now, the one caveat I would give is that people who know more about this than me think that the rest of the ballots that get counted won't be quite as good for Trump as the ones that they counted yesterday, and that he may not be able to match that 59-41 advantage among all of the rest of the ballots that get counted, in which case Biden would keep the lead. But one thing to note about Arizona, the vote count is very slow, and we're talking weeks rather than days there. So if you want a quick resolution to the election, Nevada and Arizona are not going to give it to you because they take so long to count. The best hope of having this wrapped up this week is definitely for Biden to go ahead and get a clear lead in Pennsylvania once the rest of the votes are counted there. And they're pretty much promising that that'll at least be by the end of the day tomorrow. So if they are able to hold to that, we may go to bed tomorrow night knowing who our next president is.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, Public Policy Polling. So that's where things stand at those key states around the country where the presidential race kind of still hangs in the balance. What about North Carolina? Still some votes yet to be counted, and they won't all be counted until November 12th for sure, next Thursday. That's the deadline to accept absentee ballots that have been mailed in. But what do we know about those absentee ballots, and what are the races that are still kind of hanging around?
I think there's only one race where there's a real chance of the outcome being changed, and that's the race for Chief Justice of the state Supreme Court. Right now, the incumbent Democrat, Sherry Beasley, is trailing her Republican challenger by 3,000 votes. So here's a couple things about the ballots still outstanding. One is that there are 40,000 provisional ballots cast on Tuesday, and usually only about half of those end up getting counted, so that would be about 20,000. Now, here's what's kind of funny is that usually we assume that provisional ballots are going to be really good for Democrats. But this year we know that overwhelmingly Republicans voted on Election Day and Democrats didn't. So those provisional ballots that usually are thought of as being a clear advantage for Democrats might not be this year because Trump won the Election Day vote 2-1. Pretty just two totally different elections between the one held before Election Day and the one held on Election Day itself. Now, the other thing is there's over 100,000 unreturned mail ballots. The thing with that is we don't know how many of them will actually be returned. And we also don't know how many of those people with unreturned mail ballots actually ended up voting on Election Day. So I really don't know that many of those mail ballots are actually going to come in and get counted, which is why I'm skeptical that the remaining vote can cause too big of a shift overall. But we do know that Democrats won mail ballots about 3-1. So let's say that there's even just 10,000 more mail ballots that came in. If those go 3-1 Democratic, that's a 5,000 vote margin. That would put Sherry Beasley back in the lead for the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And so that's the main thing to sort of watch for. But there's certainly no way the result of the presidential race is getting overturned. There's no way the result of the Senate race is getting overturned. I think all the action really is about that Chief Justice race, which certainly is important, but doesn't have the national implications of the other ones.
And if that does end up getting flipped, then that just kind of reinforces what has kind of hit me as being the picture of the 2020 election. So you're kind of defying expectations, but what it's ultimately amounting to is the incumbents winning and the picture in North Carolina state politics like not really changing between 2019 and 2021. You've got the Democrat in the governor's mansion. You've got Republicans in control of the legislature, but not with a veto-proof majority. All the incumbent parties won the Council of State races, and the only state-level flip is in those court seats, which really fascinated me, considering just how tense and contentious and how much tumult and turmoil there's been in 2020, that's the outcome surprises me a lot.
Yeah, and it speaks to something that I always talk about, and I got the side of this wrong this year, but I did not get the overall dynamic wrong. In 2016, Republicans got basically 51% of the statewide vote, and that let them win almost all of the statewide races.
Mm-hmm.
In 2018, Democrats got 51% of the statewide vote, and that let them win almost all of the statewide races. I thought Democrats were going to get this year 51% of the statewide vote, and that would let them win all the judicial races and most of the council of state. But instead, it turned out that Republicans got the 51-49 majority in the statewide vote, and that meant they won all the judicial races and most of the council of state. But that is how thin of a line we're on in this state, and it really speaks to how closely divided we are, that the difference between one party winning just about everything and the other party winning just about everything is just which party can get on the right side of that 51-49. And it doesn't get any more lopsided than that towards one party or the other.
Yeah. So with that in mind, let's start thinking about the difference between expectations and reality in this particular election. The polls were underestimating Trump's strength again, kind of the same as in 2016, maybe by a little bit more this time around versus then. You've had a couple of days to kind of process the numbers. What's your take on the way 2020 shook out in terms of where the polls were and how the vote ended up coming down?
My best guess is that Trump just had a huge surge of support and people coming out to vote who don't answer polls.
Because mm-hmm.
Something that's very interesting, the early vote / mail vote in North Carolina electorate was a 6-point Democratic registration advantage, which is the overall Democratic registration advantage in the state. And that early vote mail vote electorate that matched the party registration figures in the state gave Biden about a 200,000 vote lead at the start of the night. He started up, once all the mail and early vote was counted, Biden was up about 4 in that segment of the electorate that matched the state's registration. But then the people who voted on election day voted 2-1 for Trump. So what that tells me is that among the final overall electorate, even though there's 6% more registered Democrats than Republicans in the state, my guess is that when we get all the statistics back, it's going to turn out that Democrats and Republicans, in terms of the overall number of votes, voted about equally, which means that Republicans voted at a much higher rate. And that was something that nobody's polls picked up.
Yeah, one of the things, the numbers that I noticed, and this was like late election night when we were kind of wrapping up, I was looking at turnout numbers, and turnout was higher, obviously, in North Carolina, 75% turnout across the state and 75% in Orange County. And then I tried to compare it to 2016 to see what the difference was. It was 67% across the state and 71% in Orange County. So 2016, Orange County voters, which is, you know, one of the more Democratic-leaning counties in the state, if not the most, turned out at a higher rate than voters in general in North Carolina. This year, not so much. So there were other counties that stepped up their voter turnout more than Orange County did, and I think you're right. That's probably going to end up being the difference maker.
Yeah, and it's sort of a situation for us as pollsters where it's hard to know what to do. We messed up 2016, and we could see reasons why we messed up 2016, and we fixed those things for 2018. And 2018 was one of the most accurate years for polling ever. And certainly for our company, I remember we were like cross-referencing our polls and the final results and all the things we had pulled across the country. We were just like astonished at how accurate it was. So we said, okay, we figured out the formula for doing accurate polling in the era of Trump and did all the same things in 2020. And then our polls end up being off pretty much across the board. So people are declaring that polling's dead. I don't think that's really true, and that's probably something that's been declared about 10 times over the years. But I do think that there might be some truth to Donald Trump broke polling, but it might be that Donald Trump only breaks polling when Donald Trump is on the ballot, because not just 2018, but also races in 2017 and 2019, polling was incredibly accurate. And it may just be that Trump brought out a certain segment of people who aren't going to answer polls. And maybe some of them really do lie to pollsters, as a lot of loud Trump people on the internet have claimed that their supporters are lying on purpose to mess with the polls. So obviously, you know, I've been spending a lot of time the last 2 days thinking about what we ought to do differently or could do differently in the future. But the main answer to that really might be that we just need to hope Trump doesn't run again, because he seems to have a unique ability to throw off the polls in a way that isn't really true the rest of the time.
PublicPolicyPolling.com, the website. Find more news and analysis and numbers at PPP Polls on Twitter as well. Tom Jensen, as always, thanks so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.